One of the very best parts of what we do is when dreams are realized of the athletes we cover in our state line. And someone we've been paying very close attention to over the last few years is Isaiah Roby. He was a Dixon Duke long before he was a Nebraska Cornhusker. And now I get to introduce him as a member of the Dallas Mavericks Association and a NBA basketball player. He joins us right now on the phone. Isaiah, I bet you're not sick of hearing that, being introduced as an NBA basketball player. How are you, man?
Absolutely not. You know, I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. And to rewind a little bit before we get to draft night, so you make that decision to stay in the draft pool after getting some initial feedback. What is that process like? Where are you going? Who are you meeting with to get the kind of feedback of kind of understanding, should you decide to stay in the draft pool, where you might be going?
Yeah, I mean, the process is, you know, it's a long, tiring process, but you know, if you really love basketball, you know, it's nothing but, you know, excitement the whole time. You know, it's a long month from, you know, the end of the season, your college season to, you know, to the deadline to make the decision. But, you know, you get to travel a lot. You know, you spend a lot of time in airports, going across the country. You know, myself, I did 14 workouts. You know, some guys do more, some guys do less. But 14 workouts is a lot of workouts, so. You know, you got to take care of your body. You got to, you know, eat right, sleep right, rehab. And, you know, it's just preparing you for what you're going to have to do as an NBA player. But when it comes to making the decision, I would say, you know, the biggest thing is just trusting your inner circle. You know, for me, it was my parents and my brothers and my agent. And, you know, the NBA teams do a good job of, in recent years, you know, they've been getting better at it, but they do a good job of, you know, giving you honest feedback. And for me, my feedback was good enough for me to say, you know, I feel really comfortable with my position and my opportunity this year to get drafted. You know, it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, I'd say so, too. And you say 14 workouts within that span. I don't think I've worked out 14 times in the last 6 months. So, I mean, that's incredible, man. So, I mean, walking it back even a little further, do you remember the exact moment? Was it a conversation with your parents? Was it with your agent? Can you kind of pinpoint the moment where you decided, all right, we're doing this thing, I'm committing to staying in the draft pool?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I said it a few times. And, you know, I had to kind of just tell myself to slow down, you know, the way the NCAA and the NBA have set it up for guys now, it's perfect for guys like me who, you know, aren't first round lock, you know, lottery guys, but, you know, have a really good opportunity and a good shot of making the NBA this year. So, you know, I had to tell myself I needed to slow down, and I just, you know, took as much time as possible, that I felt necessary to make the decision. And, you know, it came down to, what could I look myself in the mirror and live with more? You know, if I'd have went back to school and, you know, and I know I could have got drafted this year at a decent spot, and I go back to school and then, you know, the opportunity is no longer there, would I still be able to look at myself in the mirror? And so, you know, it came down to stuff like that. You know, there's opportunity and risk with every decision, so you really just got to weigh it out what's best for you.
We're speaking with Isaiah Roby. He was picked 45th overall in last week's NBA draft, now a member of the Dallas Mavericks organization. And Isaiah, it seems like draft day, you know, you had a close group at home to watch that whole process unfold. But I'd imagine the day leading up to that night's event was probably a long one to sit through. You know, what did you do to pass time on the hours leading up to 7 p.m. before the festivities actually really got going? How'd you spend that time?
Yes, it was, a really long day. To be honest, at this point, I can't even remember what I was doing that day. I was kind of just counting hours down to the draft, and you know, just relaxing and enjoying the company of my friends and family. That's pretty much it. Just trying to keep my mind off of it. You know, at that point, I wasn't really, to be honest, it was kind of weird. I wasn't really too nervous throughout the day. I just wanted to find out where I was going, but I wouldn't say I was nervous, because you know, at this point, you know, it was out of my hands. I did what I had to do. I did all I could do in the draft process. You know, I felt really good about what I did and how I showed myself to teams. And so at that point, you know, it wasn't in my hands anymore. So the hard part was done. All I had to do was wait.
Yeah, and it looked like you were, you know, doing just that and relaxing. I saw pictures of you playing bags in the backyard. I mean, trying your best just to keep the day moving. And you know, when that moment finally came along, I know when I watch, like, the NFL draft, you'll see guys getting the call before the pick is actually in. So, you know, take me, what came first, the announcement on TV, or were you notified in advance that, hey, this is going to happen?
Yeah, no, I was actually notified in advance. I was actually notified earlier in the draft that, you know, if I'm still available, you know, initially Dallas had pick 37, and I was notified earlier in the draft that, like, around pick 29 or 30, that, you know, if I'm still available at 37, then Dallas is going to pick me. So, you know, I was at that point, there's no nerves. It's, you know, I'm going to be either 37th pick or higher. So I was like, that's a great thing. And then when it got to pick maybe 36, Dallas ended up trading that pick. So then, you know, that's when doubt started to set in, and started to get a little nervous. But I finally got the call about pick 44, 43, saying, you know, Dallas going to pick you at 45. And, you know, I was more than happy. But, you know, I wasn't getting my hopes up too high, because I had to wait till I saw it, because, you know, I already got my hopes up for pick 37. So I just waited until I got the call, or waited till I saw it on TV. And, you know, when I heard my name announced, you know, that was a moment that I've been waiting for my whole life. And, you know, it's a special moment.
And you know, who was, I know, I think I saw the video of who exactly was around you, but, you know, just walk me through that exact moment. You're surrounded by probably the people that are closest to you in your entire life, people that are responsible in a lot of ways for that moment, too, because, you know, no one gets to where they're at alone. How special was it, you know, to just be sharing that with those people and, you know, paint the picture for who was around you that you can remember, who you remember giving hugs to in that moment exactly?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was a pretty small group. You know, obviously there's a lot of people that helped me get to this point, and, you know, I wish that everybody could be there, but, you know, I had to try to keep it somewhat small. So, you know, I had some old high school teammates, some guys that, you know, we never drifted apart. We're, you know, they're still my best friends. So, some old high school teammates, some old AAU basketball teammates, my high school coaches there, my girlfriend, her family, and then my parents, my brothers, and you know, some of my mom's, you know, coworkers. So it was, you know, it was a good group. And, you know, when I got my name called, well, actually before I got my name called, I told my friends, I was like, man, I'm not gonna cry. I promise you, I'm not gonna cry. And I was like, and they were like, you're definitely gonna cry. I'm like, I swear, if I cry, you can, like, I'll let you slap me if I start crying.
Come on, man, it's a big deal. You can cry. That's cool.
I know. Yeah, I'm not a real emotional guy, so I was like, if I start crying, like, I promise you can slap me. I'll let you. And you know, I hugged my mom, and I hugged my mom first, and then I started going down the line, giving everybody a hug. And, you know, I got about four hugs in, and then I started to cry, you know, happy tears. And it was just, you know, nobody ended up slapping me, but it was, you know, it was a great night. And, you know, that was just, you know, I couldn't be happier with it. And, you know, it was, like I said, it was just a dream come true.
We're speaking with Isaiah Roby, just drafted by the Dallas Mavericks last week in the NBA draft. And getting into the nitty-gritty and the basketball portion of it, Isaiah, you know, getting in making that jump to the next level, you know, what have you been working on within your game to get ready for that? Is that just a physicality thing to make sure that your body's the way you want it to be? I know from watching a lot of you in college, it was, you know, the three-point wasn't a huge part of your game, although you were certainly effective when you took it. Is that a big stepping point for you that you want to expand that part of your game? Because they're asking everyone to shoot threes right now. What have you been working with in just the basketball sense to make sure for summer league and for potentially NBA games next fall that you're the best Isaiah Roby you can be?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the NBA is going to where everybody's, you know, it's really positionless basketball. So, you know, no matter what position you play, you got to be able to do all things in basketball. So for me, you know, the things that I'm really focusing on is my ball handling and playmaking. And then also, like you said, my three-point shot. Those are two things that, you know, I think that are really going to help me, you know, get on the court, along with, you know, my defensive tools and stuff like that. So I would say those are two things that I've been focusing on the most in order to, you know, to make an impact on the team this next year.
And so going forward, Isaiah, what happens next then? When are you going to be reporting to the team, or is there anything prior to rookie camp or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'll report to Dallas this week, later on in the week, and then you know, we'll have a few days to practice with the summer league team, and then after a few practices, you know, we'll head out to Las Vegas for summer league, and that'll be about 10 days. So get about 5 days, or I think it's 4 or 5 games, and then a tournament if you qualify. So pretty quick turnaround, and you know, summer league's gonna be here, and then after summer league, you know, that's when fall camp starts. So you know, it's time's here, and you know, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Isaiah, when I watch you play, I think the most impressive part is how you affect the game in a lot of ways that maybe before a few years ago don't necessarily show up in your baseline statistics. But when I look at, you know, your advanced stats, and this is what NBA scouts do, you know, they can see that you are a super plus defender and you affect every possession that's out there. You know, how much do you feel like, you know, how grateful are you that, you know, a kid that maybe averaged 11 points a game in college, you know, 6 years ago might not gotten the look you do, but now there's really ways to register all the ways you affect the game outside of just how many points a game or what your three-point percentage is. I mean, you're a real beneficiary of some of these advanced stats that the NBA looks at now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's, you know, there's everybody likes to point out their favorite stats, and, you know, there's some organizations that value different stats over, you know, other stats. So, you know, I think, like you said, the stats that you pointed out are things that are going to get you on the court and, you know, help contribute to winning games, especially with, you know, with the Mavericks. You know, they got guys like Luka and Kristaps Porzingis, you know, and you know, that's 6'8", 7'1" right there. And then add me, I'm 6'9". You know, you can have a big lineup with, you know, multiple guys who can switch and guard multiple positions. So, I think all of those things are just going to help me. And you know, I'm looking forward to bringing that to the team and hopefully, you know, contribute to winning some games.
Isaiah, I mean, this was a real high last week, and as you know, life is about the ups and downs and the weird path that sometimes life takes you. You know, we just celebrated an NBA championship with Fred VanVleet, who, you know, had to spend time in the G League, didn't get his name called on draft night, but now you see that high after that. How much, as you embark on this process, is it helpful to see someone from your area, I mean, Rockford, Dixon, all the same state line area, that, you know, regardless of whatever the highs and lows are, whatever the path takes, you know, as long as you keep, as Fred would say, bet on yourself, as long as you stay true to the process, you know, it can happen to anyone. How helpful has that story been to you throughout this process so far?
I mean, it's very helpful, you know, especially, you know, seeing a guy like Fred who, you know, went undrafted. And I think it's something special about guys who are upperclassmen who play college basketball. You know, I think college basketball teaches you in itself how to fight through adversity. You know, I know Fred in Wichita State, they had a lot of success, you know, highly ranked team, made multiple NCAA tournaments, but I know for a fact that, you know, he faced adversity and was able to work through that. And then playing through the G League, you know, it's not glamorous to be in the G League. And the fact that he's made out of that, him and Pascal Siakam, and, you know, are now world champions, that just speaks to how he fights through adversity. And that's something that, you know, I'm thinking that along with playing through college and stuff like that is gonna help me at the next level. Nothing, like you said, nothing is gonna be perfectly, you know, ascending at all times. My college career is a roller coaster in itself, and I think I'm gonna be able to take lessons from college and implement that into my professional career.
You know, Isaiah, we talked to a lot of high school players that, you know, your name and Fred's name and a lot of other players who go on to play college and basketball or any other sport, your name comes up a lot, and now it's going to come up a whole lot more when talking about success stories from our area. What message would you give along to anyone who's, you know, entering that varsity athletics portion of their high school career, anyone who's has big dreams? What would Isaiah Roby tell them about, you know, staying true to that process and how to get to wherever they want to go?
I mean, I think you just said it. You got to stay true to it. You know, when I was growing up, I missed out on a lot of stuff that, you know, normal kids get to participate in. You got to be able to want to sacrifice things. You know, for instance, I was playing AAU basketball, and you know, you're going to miss homecoming. You're going to miss some proms. You're going to miss, you know, going out with your friends on weekend nights. But in the end, if you stay true to that, and you know, keep your head down and especially you stay off social media, stuff like that, because that stuff is, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in that type of stuff. But if you really want it, obviously it's possible. And it's going to be hard, but and you're going to have to sacrifice a lot. But if you keep your head down and truly want it, it's there for you. And everybody's path is different at the same time too. So I would just say that. I would say that's the biggest advice I could give is just stay true to it. Love the game and love all sports. You know, I grew up playing all sports. I didn't really focus on basketball like as my primary sport until I was 14, 15. You know, I grew up playing football. I wanted to be, you know, the next college football quarterback. So, you know, I would just say enjoy that, enjoy the team building prospect of it, and stay true to it. And you know, hard work is definitely going to be needed, and you know, just work hard at all times.
Well, just from our 15 minutes together, Isaiah, I think it's pretty clear that you have a great support system around you that turned you into a great young man, very easy to talk to, and very easy guy to root for, not just in the way you play, but the person you are. So congratulations to all those people that helped you get to this point. Most importantly, congratulations to you. Look forward to checking in throughout this process, and safe travels down to Dallas this week. We really appreciate your time, man.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.